In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Last week, I mentioned to you that the Gospel of Luke is full of important moments that take place on the Sabbath. You will notice that today, Luke tells us that the people were watching Jesus closely, who was having a meal on the Sabbath. With all of these eyes and ears on him, Jesus uses the opportunity to teach an important lesson using a parable. I've always found this to be an interesting parable because it is, I think, for most of us, a very relatable one. Sometimes we have to do a little extra digging, a little extra research to understand the imagery Jesus employs. Maybe the parable is heavy with agricultural language, and we who are so far removed from a life of an agrarian society might not catch the subtleties of his words. Or maybe he is talking of a very specific cultural custom or event, and we need to work out those details to grasp the full meaning of the story. I don't think we need to do any of that today. Today, Jesus is talking about a wedding. And weddings are one of those things that, despite cultural and generational differences, hold more in common than they hold different. Weddings have certain cornerstones that make them immediately recognizable and understandable to us all. We see one of those foundational wedding experiences today, the seating arrangement. Now, if you've ever planned your own wedding or helped someone plan their wedding, you know that the seating arrangement can be one of the most demanding tasks. You want to make sure everyone is put in their proper place, paid their due respect, and seated with people they would hopefully enjoy. For example, there is very little chance that you will see great-grandma with your college roommate. You may avoid this because they would have little to talk about, or precisely because they will have too much to talk about, namely embarrassing stories about you. Parents will be seated in a particular place, the wedding party their own, and of course the stars of the night, the newlyweds. All of them have their appointed place to sit. When Jesus begins to talk about the wedding banquet, the wedding reception, the dynamics and experience of it are familiar to us. Jesus uses this universal human experience to bring to our attention the idea of humility. Now, I keep imagining this scene Jesus lays out for us happening at a wedding today. I picture one of those sweetheart tables, a table set aside just for the newlyweds. Maybe it's even shaped like a heart with beautiful decorations. I picture some hapless wedding guests sitting there, taking the seat of honor before the couple has made their grand entrance. And then I picture one of the parents, maybe one of the mothers, having to tell that person that, excuse me, you're in the wrong seat. That, to say the least, would be a humbling experience. I think we often think of humility in these ways, these moments of being humbled, put in our place, knocked down a peg or two. But humility is more than that. Being humbled is more than that. The humility and humbleness that Jesus is calling us to is not about being knocked down or put in our place. Rather, I think it is about understanding our place and seeing ourselves and the world in a different way. Saint Augustine of Hippo is one of the greatest theologians the church has ever produced. On the subject of humility, he had this to say: almost the whole of Christian teaching is humility. That is a powerfully pointed statement. Gets right to the heart of the matter. It means if I read through the Bible, if I take every word of our prayer book into my heart, the sum total of them is calling me to humility. Jesus also gives pointed words on what his life and his teaching are all about. When he is asked what is the greatest commandment, he responds with, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself. During the night of the Last Supper, after Jesus has washed the feet of his disciples, he tells them, "I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Put simply, Jesus is calling us to live a life of love. And that life of love is a pathway to a life of humility. When we love God with all our heart and all our mind and with all our soul, we become aware of God's awesome and infinite nature. How God is the ground of our being, is the creator, sustainer, and redeemer of all things. When we love God, we can begin to see our place in God's creation more clearly, and this leads to humility. We learn that we were created by God's love, that we live and breathe by God's mercy. We are humbled to know that we are utterly dependent on God's love, on God's mercy. That though we may be frail and mortal beings, we are God's treasured possessions. And though we may be imperfect and sinful beings, we are freed from those bonds by God's mercy. Love is a pathway to humility. When we love our neighbors, we can become humbled by the fact that we are all children of the same God. All of us created in God's own image. Humbled by the knowledge that despite what differences we might perceive in one another, be they race, orientation, age, culture, politics, class, whatever we perceive as separating us and making some of us greater or lesser than another, humility formed in love lets us know that above everything, above all else, we are all dependent on the love of God. We are all dependent on the mercy of God. Each of us loved eternally. Each of us treasured the same in God's eyes. Through humility, we learn that we are changing, impermanent creatures, that this world is impermanent and changing. Through love, we learn what our epistle reading says to us today. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Placing our hope and trust in Jesus Christ, we are grounded in his eternal and changeless peace. And this is the kind of peace that humbles kings and beggars alike, humbles sinners and saints alike. Jesus Christ calls, invites us all to a banquet, and its table is right here. At this holy table, there is no head or foot. There is no place of honor or seat of distinction. There is only God's love for us and God's mercy for us. Through humility, we can approach it and receive the body and blood of Jesus, which he gives so freely for us. Humbly approaching this table, we can see those coming to the banquet with us. And with humble eyes, we can see ourselves in them. Imperfect and sinful as we are, loved and treasured by God as we are. None greater or lower than the other, all given a place of honor around this table. Love is the pathway to humility. And humility is the pathway to living a full and joyful life, full in the knowledge and love of God, joyful in the reconciled relationship we can live together. This is the universal experience God desires for us all. To come to the holy table, humbly and in love. Amen.